The text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Here ends the text. 13 years ago, Toby Keith had a delightful ditty about how his girl liked to talk about herself, which was fine with him, but occasionally he wanted to talk about him. "I don't want to talk about him, Toby Keith, but him, Jesus Christ." With our text, however, it's easier to talk about me or you. Take the first parable. From the joy of finding our salvation comes the eagerness to sell all that we have to get it. We sing like that sometimes. "Here I give myself away, it's all that I can do. Salvation demands my soul, my life, my all." This text can be about us and how once we stumble upon the hidden treasure of the gospel, that joy leads us to selling all to bring it home. Based on the second parable, we could emphasize our searching. The finding and the selling all to get the treasure is the same as the first parable, but in this one, I could picture us actively searching, not just happening to find it in the field. We're actively searching for fine pearls, note the plural. Yes, we foolishly think there is more than one fine pearl, more than one thing needful, more than one thing that can satisfy, more than one salvation. But once we find that pearl of great price, once we find Jesus, our search is over. So keep on searching till you find him. Even the last parable can be about us. Aren't we fishers of men? Aren't we the ones dragging the net? Can't this parable be about being sure that we fish with the kingdom? We fish with the kingdom for fish. Jesus says it's the kingdom that does the catching. It's not the plans. It's not the programs. It's not the piety of men that catch all kinds of fish. The kingdom of heaven is the net. So be sure that's what you're fishing with. Yes, it's easier to talk about me and you than it is Jesus. And even Jesus talks about me and you in the end. At the end, the text makes a pointed turn in our direction. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asks. "Yes," they reply. It's very discipleish, very me-ish, maybe it's very you-ish, to think you've understood something Jesus has said right off the bat. When Jesus warns them about the leaven of the Pharisees, they're sure he's chiding them for not taking bread rather than warning them of the false teaching of the Pharisees. When Jesus mentions swords in the upper room, they're sure he's talking about real swords. When Jesus is rejected by the Samaritans, James and John are sure he means that fire should be sent from heaven to destroy them. My point is they think they understand these parables. Remember how after the sower, they had to ask Jesus what it meant? Remember they did the same after the parable of the weeds? Remember how Jesus said those outside of the kingdom would not understand them? So what would you say then when after telling you three short parables, Jesus asked you, "Do you understand them?" I'm going to say yes. And my default setting for understanding anything is it's about me. Jesus shows them and us how to tell if we really understood. Even a teacher of the law, even a member of that group that was so opposed to him, If he has been instructed in the kingdom, even he has more treasure than he knows what to do with. He has treasure not only in the new things, but especially the old. Old is the last word in the Greek sentence. That means Jesus emphasizes it. Yes, the one who gets these parables finds treasure in the same old that he has been overlooking and taking for granted. Ending the text this way ends this long teaching session with a question. Have I really understood all these things? It is Jesus' way to leave his hearers with a hanging question. What will the lawyer do who asks who is his neighbor and is told the parable of the Good Samaritan? What will the Pharisee who grumbled about Jesus receiving sinners do after hearing the prodigal son? What does Peter do after asking about how many times he should forgive someone who sins against him and is told the parable of the unforgiving servant? If we understand these parables, we will find ourselves awash in treasure in places we've never expected. Do we understand? Not if we think they're about us. Yes, it's easier to talk about me and even you than it is Jesus. But this text must be about him because every jot and tittle of Scripture is. Both the New and Old Testaments are about Jesus. This is a point the Jewish leaders, teachers of the law, and even Christian Bible scholars don't get. They search and search the Scriptures, never realizing that they're all about Jesus. No, we look for our joy, search for our pearls, and drag the net of the kingdom around focused on me, myself, and I. But who really sold all for the sake of the treasure that had been forever hidden in the field of the world? Don't forget that point. In last week's text, which is part of the same long teaching session, Jesus said, "The field is the world," and the treasure was forever hidden. This is one of the two Greek perfects in the text. A perfect means that something has happened and the results of it go on forever. Back to my first question. Who really sold all for the sake of a forever hidden treasure? God the Son gave up the full use of his divine power, glory, and rights to become incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary. For what? To buy a field, which is the world wherein his treasure was forever buried. The treasure could not unbury itself. It couldn't do anything to be found. It was forever hidden. There we were in the field of the world, buried under sin, under death, and under the devil. And Jesus says, "I'll take the whole world." He says that like the antique dealer who buys the whole house for the sake of a Queen Anne chair. I don't care what it costs. If it takes my soul, my life, my all, I'll pay it. So Jesus digs up the sins of the world, digs up the sins the world is buried under, and he carries them away. So Jesus offers his holy divine life to death in place of our sinful fallen ones. And what can the devil, the strong man guarding the plunder of souls, do? True, the law consigned all sinners over to him and to death. But Jesus broke the devil's grip by perfectly fulfilling the law and dying innocently under its judgments. I want to talk about him, about Jesus, about Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. The one who finds the forever hidden treasure is the God-man Jesus. And Jesus is also the merchant looking for fine pearls. See how the parables differ? If they were exactly parallel, it would be as the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, so it would be like a fine pearl. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. In the first parable, Jesus is pictured slogging through the world and happens to find a treasure long buried that needs digging up. He both digs it up and buys it. In this parable, Jesus is actively seeking fine pearls, but he finds only one. Here is where the second perfect comes in. The treasure was forever hidden. In this parable, the perfect is the merchant selling all. He forever sells all to buy that one pearl. The incarnation of God the Son through the womb of the Virgin Mary is for keeps. It's for good. It's forever. Once having taken on this flesh and blood, God the Son never puts it off again. You cannot think that any bodiless creature, be it angel, demon, pure energy, or pure thought, are somehow superior to flesh and blood. God the Son deigned to clothe himself with flesh and blood. Their fallenness and sinfulness is the problem, not their flesh and bloodness. See the nuances in these parables. The first speaks of us as part of a bigger treasure hidden forever but found by Jesus. The second speaks of us as individuals. The focus of the church is often numbers, the many, the thousands being lost every minute, the millions of unreached souls. The focus of the Gospels is individuals. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I must stay in your house today, says Jesus from a street teeming with people. It's not the whole town of Shechem that Jesus focuses on, but the lone woman at the well. It's Paul Jesus speaks to on the road to Damascus, not any of the others on the road with him. It's one couple on the road to Emmaus Easter evening that Jesus chats up. Yes, it's true, you and I are part of the one holy Christian church that Jesus bought the whole world to get. But we're also that one pearl. It's the plural pronouns that preach the largeness of the gospel, but it's the singular ones that touch us. I baptize thee. I forgive thee. Given and shed for you require, says Luther, all hearts to believe, especially yours. Yes, believe. If there were no other sinners in all the world, God the Son still would have come for just you. He would have lived a perfect life just for you. He would have willingly embraced the suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross just for you and for your salvation. Yes, never forget, as the Nicene Creed says, that it was for all men and our salvation, but always live from it was for me and my salvation. Finally, the kingdom of heaven is like a net, so that means the King of heaven is too. Jesus is the only net let down into the ocean of the world. The gospel spreads an incredibly wide net. There is no sinner it does not wish to gather to forgiveness in Jesus. There's no damned soul it doesn't wish to catch in salvation for Jesus' sake. There's no dead body it doesn't wish to catch from the ocean of death for life in Jesus' name. The net is wide open today for all. It hasn't been pulled up on the shore yet, but it will one day. Then the separating starts, the righteous from the wicked. Jesus knows them that are his. He sees those who have been clothed by him in baptism. He knows those who have been absolved by him because they bear the seal of his name. And he recognizes those communed by him as sure as he recognizes his own body and blood. There's new treasure in these 2,000-year-old parables. They're not about you or I searching, finding, buying, selling, or fishing, but about Jesus. I want to talk about him, and you most certainly want and need to hear about him. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.